Welcome to a special edition of 1010 Thrive, part of our series, Jesus in Every Book of the Bible.
The journey of my life, from the day I became Elkanah's wife to this very moment, has been a tapestry woven with threads of joy, sorrow, and unwavering faith. Looking back, I see the hand of God guiding every step, shaping me into the woman I am now. But woven within that tapestry lies the tangled thread of conflict and pain, embodied in Peninnah, the other wife, the second wife, of my beloved husband. Oh, how her presence served as a constant reminder of my own barrenness, a source of deep heartache. Elkanah only married her after I failed to give him an heir. Watching Peninnah laughing and playing with her children was stinging enough. But she seldom neglected an opportunity to lord her motherhood over me, to whisper insults when Elkanah was not in earshot. Her taunts pierced my soul, leaving scars that no one else could see. In the depths of my heart, I questioned my worth, my purpose, as the tears fell and my spirit felt crushed. What grounded me was my abiding faith in Yahweh and the enduring love of my husband. Despite it all, Elkanah saw beyond my barrenness, beyond Peninnah's torment, and loved me unconditionally. His tender words and gentle embrace became a refuge, reminding me of my inherent value and the depth of his affection. In my moments of despair, I turned to Elohim, seeking solace and guidance. I poured out my soul before him, offering my pain and my longing. It was in the sanctuary of Shiloh, in fervent prayer, that I found strength to endure, to rise above the bitterness that threatened to consume me. I remember the priest, Eli, observing me from a distance as I poured out my heart to the Lord. He mistook me for someone who was drunk and approached me, reproving my supposed intoxication. I poured out my heart to him. And, when he heard my plight, Eli's initial rebuke turned into empathy and understanding. He blessed me, saying, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant your request." Not long thereafter, the Lord granted me the precious gift of motherhood. Samuel, my beloved son, was born to me as a testament to God's faithfulness and grace. His arrival brought a renewed sense of purpose, a ray of hope in the midst of darkness. My precious boy became the fulfillment of God's promise. I cherished every moment with him, cradling him in my arms, watching him grow, and teaching him the ways of the Lord. He brought such joy to my life. But today, my heart is heavy once more. Yesterday, I fulfilled a vow I made to the Lord, offering Samuel back to him and trusting his future to God's hands. It was a moment of both sorrow and surrender. I can't describe the ache in my soul as I parted with my beloved son, knowing I would no longer witness his daily growth, his laughter, his milestones. Yet, even in this sacrifice, I find solace in my faith. I trust that God has a purpose for Samuel, a destiny far greater than my own desires. My sacrifice is an act of devotion, an offering of gratitude for the precious time I had with him. I will continue to pray for him, to intercede on his behalf, knowing that God's plan for his life surpasses my own.
My boys are reprobates. This is not something easy for a father to admit. My two sons have served as priests alongside me for many years, but they have little regard for the precepts of Yahweh. Instead, they defile the sanctuary, they defraud the people, and they make mockery of the sacred things. And it is my fault. As a priest and judge, it was my responsibility to teach my sons the ways of the Lord and instruct them in their priestly duties. However, I failed to instill in them a reverence for God or the importance of their roles. My negligence in providing proper spiritual guidance contributed to their waywardness and disregard for God's commands. It was only a few days ago that Elohim sent a prophet to me to reveal that my descendants will be cut off from serving as priests and that my sons will die untimely deaths. I wish I could do something even now to get through to them, to turn them around. But I know that it is too late. Now, I just ask that Elohim empower me to do right with Samuel, this son of Hannah and Elkanah, who has been given to my charge as an offering to the Lord.
From the time I was weaned, I was brought into the presence of the Lord. I grew up in the sanctuary, surrounded by the sounds of worship, the scent of incense, and the awe-inspiring beauty of the tabernacle. It is here that I learned to discern the voice of God, to listen for His whispers in the stillness. I remember the first time I heard His voice. I was just a young boy, lying down to sleep, when suddenly, a gentle voice called my name. I thought it was Eli, the priest who has been caring for me these past few years. 3 times I heard the voice in the night, and 3 times I went to Eli. Finally, he figured out that it was the voice of God. He told me to say these words. The next time I heard the voice, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." My heart raced with excitement and fear, for I had been chosen to be a prophet, to speak the words of the Lord to his people. From that point forward, whenever the Lord has called, I have responded attentively, acknowledging my role as a servant and actively seeking heavenly guidance. But it has not always been easy. There have been times when the weight of my calling has felt heavy on my shoulders. I see the injustices, the corruption, and the disobedience among the people of Israel. I have had to deliver messages from the Lord that have been difficult to hear. But I know it is my duty to speak the truth, even when it is unpopular.
In some ways, Hannah foreshadows Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist. Like Elizabeth, she is barren, and becomes a mother in a miraculous way. Both Samuel and John the Baptist were Nazarites, set aside in service to God. Both men had special roles in God's plan. Samuel became a prophet and judge in Israel, anointing kings and guiding the nation. John the Baptist was the forerunner of Jesus, preparing the way for his ministry and proclaiming his coming as the Messiah. Hannah's story begins with her deep desire for a child, for which she fervently prays. When God grants her request and blesses her with a son, she dedicates him back to the Lord. This act of giving up her beloved son reflects sacrificial love, a foreshadowing of God the Father sacrificing his only son, Jesus, for the redemption of humanity. Eli was an imperfect high priest, failing particularly in his role as the priest of his own family. Jesus is the ultimate high priest, who offers himself as a sacrifice for the sins of humanity, providing access to God's presence. Eli's failure to discipline and correct his sons, who were acting wickedly as priests, led to judgment and the eventual downfall of his family. This echoes the concept of divine judgment and the consequences of sin, which Jesus often spoke about during his ministry. Samuel's story begins with his response to God's voice calling him in the night. He learns to recognize and obey God's voice, becoming a faithful listener and messenger. Similarly, Jesus consistently demonstrated his obedience to the Father's voice, always aligning his will with God's, and faithfully carrying out his mission. Just as Samuel prophesied, taught, and encouraged while he was a child, so too Jesus, when he was still young, held his own among the chief priests and scribes of the temple. The Bible teaches us that Jesus had a deep and loving attitude toward children. He valued their innocence, vulnerability, and the purity of their hearts. In Mark 10 verses 13 to 16, people were bringing children to Jesus so that he could bless them, but the disciples rebuked them. In response, Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." He then took the children in his arms, and blessed them, emphasizing the importance of childlike faith. In saying that the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these, it seems that Jesus considered children to be significant members of God's kingdom, and that they possess qualities that exemplify the kingdom's values. In Matthew 18 verses 2-4, Jesus used a child as an example to teach his disciples about humility and trust. He said, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Jesus emphasized the need for childlike humility and trust in God as essential characteristics for entering and experiencing the kingdom of heaven. Father, thank you for the story of Samuel and the reminders about grace, obedience, and childlike faith that we can learn from reflecting on it. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.